This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Thank you, you guys. Thank you, Joe. That was nice. Last time I had that many hands aiming at me, they're all pointing, actually. They were, that's the guy. Thank you. That was very nice. Let me open up with this passage here. This is Jesus. This is John 6:32. It says, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. I'll just stop right there. Talking a little bit about food, using food as an example. Not like food addiction, so to say, but I'm talking about food a little bit. And when you study food in the scripture, I mean, it's a rich study. It's a high calorie, so to say. I thought that was funny, high calorie study. That joke kind of snacks up on you. Kind of. All right. Everybody needs to remember, you guys were just praying for me a little bit ago.
Should you do it again?
Adam and Eve, they chose the food over the one that fed them, right? And I don't know about you, but the enemy has a way of making his temptation seem reasonable and seem true. I mean, it makes sense. The temptation basically was, you know, you don't need God. If you take this and eat this, God knows it's going to do something for you that's going to make you like him. I mean, I can already feel myself falling for it, just listening to it. The temptation of Jesus, turn these stones to bread. Don't worry about your relationship with God. You can skip all that, take matters into your own hands. And it was about food. The Last Supper, a powerful time. You know, this was part of it. The communion was part of the feasts where God taught people through food about himself. And what I'm saying in this is food just about survival? Is that the reason we eat? You know, my body needs food. Is that why I eat? Is that the only reason I eat? Is that what it's about? We're actually designed. Food is to be a bonding agent. It's to bond us. It's about relationship. When you're an infant, what's the first bond you have? It's with mom. There's that umbilical. And what's coming through that? Food, right? And as an infant, you know, we nurse with mom. And you see a baby just looking up and gazing up. You ever feed a baby a little bottle? I mean, you just staring up into that face of nurture and love. I mean, it's a true bond. Food is powerful. There's a love language that's going on there. I mean, food speaks. What kind of language does food speak to you? How about, what does chocolate say to you? Right? Does it say something, right? Speaks? How about a couple weeks ago, I made my wife steak and shrimp. You know, I was in there. You should have seen me. I'm not a very good cook, but I'm spilling things, and I spilled some vinegar, and it splashed in my ear, and now I have pickled hearing. Man, my food jokes, they're just bombing. Maybe the way I delivered that wasn't so good. I think I could say it better. Maybe I'll try that one again later. See, it wasn't the steak and shrimp, though. It was what it said, that I was clearly saying, you know, I love you, and that's what the whole meal was about. You know, it was important that I did that. You know, food speaks is what I'm trying to say. Jesus had performed a miracle feeding over 5,000, right? It was just the men. Some people say 15,000 people he fed through a miracle. So obviously a free meal, they want to chase him down. That's what gets politicians hired, right? So they're chasing him, and the next day they're saying, hey, give us a free meal. Give us more bread. And then, of course, they do the religious thing. They use the Bible on Jesus, and they say, you know, Moses fed them every day. You know, give us some more bread. And his response is, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. You know, healing from addiction is very similar to healing from trauma. It's very similar when you look at the process. And there are as many variations on the way we're addicted and our personal addictions as there are people. They're very unique to us. I mean, we can be doing the exact same thing for very different reasons, and it look identical, and it's not. I mean, we're very different people. And there are things, obviously, that all the way across the board will apply to our recovery and our healing. But we have to become, I remember when I realized I had to become the world's leading expert on my own recovery, on how Stan works, and really be after that. Religion is concerned with sameness, right? With conformity, you know, obey. And true spirituality is really concerned with your uniqueness, how unique you are as an individual, as a one-of-a-kind masterpiece of God that he's designed. And you're motivated in things that move you and affect you. And we all kind of carry around within us this empty place. Anybody know what I mean? Like just this empty place. And it's like we all have it. And we can talk a lot about where that comes from, you know, the fall and all that. But we have this empty place. What is supposed to go in that empty place? You know, food? Huh? Well, I have an idea here of what I think. This comes from Matthew 22. It says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of all the prophets are based on these two commandments. Wow. You know what's supposed to go in that empty place? Relationships. A relationship with God and a relationship with people. A love for God that transcends everything I am. It's all my might, a relationship with God. And with all my might, a relationship with people. That's what's supposed to go in that empty place. And when I use this area, this empty place, for something else like food, when I use this empty place for something like just sex or drugs, I put that in there instead. When I treat these things like I would a relationship, I have an addiction. When I have replaced what's supposed to be a relationship with God and people with food, when that does for me what these relationships are supposed to do for me, I have an addiction. Think about it. Okay, I'm down and lonely, you know. I'm designed that when I'm down and lonely to find someone that wants to be with me, that loves me, that wants to be near me and say, hey, I'm down, I'm lonely, I'm sad. And we talk and we commune and we share. This is what I'm designed to do, designed to go to God. But in the absence of that, for many, many reasons, let's say I'm down and lonely, and there's no relationship. I don't have this, I don't have this, or I'm broken in ways of doing that. I just kind of, what do? I look around, and I'm like, well, guess I'll have me a beer. Yeah? Guess I'll have me a piece of pizza. I learned to calm myself down a little bit there. See, I'm down, I'm lonely, a beer and pizza. Whew, okay, a little better. Not all better, but that helped a little. See, I'm looking around at what's available to me to calm myself down, to fill this place here. Beer and pizza are predictable. They are dependable. And it's what I know how to do. I remember when my heart was broken, crushed the first time, like it was really, truly ripped. And I was collapsed like in the fetal, bawling. I'd never experienced pain like it. As a very young man, you know, the love was there. You know, I was infatuated and love, committed and ripped. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to deal with this pain. What do I know how to do? I knew how to do drugs. Let's go find them. And that's exactly what I did. Right? So what do we know how to do? See, here's a problem with the beer and pizza. Our bodies, like my body has this monitoring system, right? When I start eating pizza, it will tell me a limit. Okay, that's it. No more. We're done with pizza. It's limited. My chemistry and my brain and my body, I mean, I'm like this just high performance balancing chemistry factory. Like, if you listen, you can hear it. Like, it's just real squishy on a microscopic level. I'm constantly balancing too much of that, not enough of that. Like, if I just dumped a bunch of sugar and drank it, there would just be this balancing going on. Too much sugar, limit. A lot of limits is what I'm saying. And the interesting thing is this joy part of our brain, it's like about right here, this joy area where I'm supposed to experience joy in relationship, joy in God. Guess what? No limit. It's oxytocin, this chemical they found, and it's like probably the only area that they have found where the joy that we can experience in relationships and with God, there is no ceiling whatsoever. Like if we just erupted right now, right? Like we grabbed on in and we all just start cheering, yay, we love you, and we're just cheering. It wouldn't be like, okay, stop, that's it. You guys love her too much. That's too much joy. Like, no more. No, it wouldn't be that. We can experience all the joy, all that gladness in God that we want. There is no ceiling to that. That's amazing. And that joy area of our brain has actually been proven to be able to heal us from addiction. Is that crazy? I like this David's joy. I love that. Where he's dancing. It says he danced with all his might in the presence of God. You know, coming with the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence is coming into his kingdom. And he danced with all his might. Amazing. Okay, so what happens if I attach a system that is designed to have limits, like pizza? If I attach that system to a system that is designed to not have limits, where I treat pizza like a relationship and I try to get joy from that area of my life and comfort, when it's not designed to do that. See, I'm going to have some real problems. I'm going to start putting on some weight. I'm going to start having some other problems too. And there's a lot to this, I know. It's easy for me to talk about weight because I'm super skinny, but I mean, I actually can have some food problems too. But one of the problems with attaching that to the wrong system is I'm going to be lonely again. Like, I can eat the pizza, and while I'm eating it, I don't feel lonely for that little bit. While I'm swallowing it, I don't feel lonely. But the moment I'm done with that and it hits my stomach, I'm lonely again. You know why I'm lonely again? It doesn't love me. It doesn't love me. And I know that. That beer does not love me. And when we begin chasing that whole thing and starting that cycle, where this area that's designed for joy and relationship and attachment, when I attach it to pizza or drugs or sex, and I start treating it that way, that system is attached to the wrong system, and it's never going to work. Because those things don't love me. They can't. I reached a place where I lost everything I owned. I reached a place where I lost my marriage, my home, my job, my everything. I lost everything. And I finally came to the place where I hit the bottom. Enough. This is not working. This system of attaching this pipe, this meth, these drugs to this system that is supposed to be joy in my God and joy in people. And I've attached to this thing that's never going to work, and I'm going around and around and around. I hit the bottom. Bam! So whatever area it is that you're dealing with or that you want to stop, whatever it is, what would have to happen for you to finally have had enough where you say, it's time to take action? It's time to do something about this. And that's when we hit step two, where we come to believe a power greater than ourselves can restore us what? To sanity, which means we were what? Insane. And we turn our will and our lives over to God's care, to His care. If right now you imagine the face of God looking down over you, what kind of face does He have? Is it angry? Is it blank, forgiving? That's awesome. Can you possibly see the smiling face of God over you? We need to. I like a friend I was talking to a couple weeks ago. We had a very similar experience where I had lost everything. I'm in Faith Farm laying in one of their beds with a few of my belongings in the little drawers I had. Lost everything. And this is street level ministry stuff. And I was laying there, had lost this business I had, my vehicles, all of it. And I'm laying in there after this long run of drugs. And I was just devastated as a person. And I just remember just all of a sudden, it was like just being touched by God. Just something came over me. And I was just overwhelmed with the love of God. And I just sat there saying, thank you. Thank you. Whatever this is, thank you. Thank you. I needed that. God's love will touch you. And this is part of where when trauma is healed, it's when God is back. When you can step back and see where God was in that whole situation and how He had you, how He was holding you, how He was very much involved, how He carried you, how He felt. When you can see that, we start to heal. God is back. This is part of holiness. Step three is part of holiness. And people don't like that word holiness. It's a scary word, I admit. But holiness is a wonderful thing. It's what we need. It's like when my wife had that stomach problem where I misdiagnosed her and was like feeding her laxatives on her ass. I'm like marching her around the yard. Terrible. I would make a terrible doctor. Everyone come in the room. I'm just dispensing laxatives here, here. Bathroom's that way. But it ended up being her gallbladder. Like it was infected. And we go in there and holiness is where that doctor brings her in and is like, here she is. She's got this infected gallbladder. She's like writhing in pain and they remove it. It's like she's restored to holiness, like that had been removed. That's over now. That's over. No more. That's when I say, God, I need holiness. I have this massive addiction. I have this thing I'm on. Remove this from me. Help me. I'm turning it over to You. And when we can turn our will and lives over to a loving God, addiction and all, and we have such an earthly, such a heavenly Father that loves us, we can let our earthly fathers off the hook for where they fell short and the things they've done. And God has gone to great lengths to tell us He loves us. I'll tell you this. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. Now He offers you true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. When we go in for help and start getting counsel, start getting a mentor, start getting spiritual advisors, You know, I heard a counseling session this week that was so awesome. The counselor said, okay, I want you to, after this counseling session and every counseling session, I want you to go tell five trusted people what happened for you during this session. And the guy said, if I had five people I could tell about this every time we talked, I wouldn't need you. And the counselor said, exactly. Exactly. And I was like, wow, that's cool. What would happen if every time we ate food, we were determined to use that time to connect with another person? That we weren't just feeding body. That we weren't just nibbling. But every time I ate food, if I can do it, every time I eat, I use it. I'm determined to use that meal as a time I'm going to connect with another person every time I eat. A lot of people, when they're having food problems, is instead of limiting all the food, but begin working on connection. And a good place to start is every time I eat, I'm going to connect with a human being. If you're connecting with someone in an awesome way, and you're having a meal, and you're having this powerful connection, you're going to go away and remember that connection. But if you notice, if you're in a place and there's a lot of tension in the room and you're not connecting with anybody, you're just going to focus on the food. Like, just kind of, well, the food was okay. Focusing on that connection. And when we say grace, I don't know about you, but when I say grace, it's kind of sad. I say, thank you for this food. And then I don't think about it the rest of the time. I'm just eating. But actually enjoying the presence of God in the scripture, he says, my father gave you that food. Moses didn't do it. My father gave you that. And I just love the idea of us saying grace over food and saying, my father gave me this food. My father is feeding me. My loving heavenly father is providing this food. Thank you. And the whole time I'm eating, I'm using that as a celebration of God's provision. He is feeding me. And I use that to share that with another person. That's what's supposed to go in this empty place. It's this powerful awareness of the love of God. So healthy attachments, really quick. A healthy connection, a healthy attachment. It grows stronger when you're apart. And it grows stronger when you're together. A real healthy attachment brings you closer to God. And calls out of you the way God sees you, who God had in mind when he thought of you in the first place. That's a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship is there with you in the positive and the negative. And there's freedom. And there's challenge. God wants such a connection with us. But I think through the cross in this, and for me in addiction, I'll just say this. That God's message to me was so clear, and he is to you, that there is no problem that you're going through or that you're dealing with that's ever bigger than our relationship. Our relationship with God can withstand any problem we're dealing with. And God will walk us through the ability to take that empty place and begin reaching out to him and to other people, and begin learning how to do that. It's very hard to do, especially when you come from addiction. It's very hard to do. It's easy to look at a person and find one flaw and disqualify them. It's easy to do it. Nope, not them. Nope, not them. Nope, not them. Super easy. God's leading us. He was leading the children of Israel to the land of milk and honey, right? Isn't that cool? Sounds like a milkshake. Taking us to a garden, the marriage supper of the Lamb, my wife was talking about. The marriage supper of the Lamb, how do you see that feast? You know, it's not going to be a drive-through window. This is going to be a connection. If you're having any kind of struggle with anything, you know, it doesn't have to be food or whatever it is. You know, we have a lot of people here, and my wife and I are really dedicated to doing this. We love to sit down. You know, JD's here. We dedicate a lot of time to caring about this, but we're willing to sit down and help you formulate a strategy around what's going on, whatever it is. We're willing to sit down. We can hear it all and come up with some kind of plan for you that you can come into your true identity. Does that make sense, everybody? So this empty place we all carry, we're going to leave here and tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up and it's going to be there. What are we going to fill it with? Pizza? You know, me and JD were walking out in by Chena Lakes the other day. And I can tell you this. We were talking about the awesomeness of where we live in Alaska, the trees, the sky, the incredible life we have. Just this gratitude was just pouring out of us. And we were just thanking God for the life we have in this just amazing life. Like, I can't believe I get to live this life. Doing what I'm doing, being who I am, it's just so amazing. Thank you, God. And this gratitude was just coming up out of us. And I asked JD, you know, if you had to tell somebody how you did it, how did it happen? You know, we never thought we'd reach this place of being so happy and so grateful and full of such joy to be alive, honestly. I spent almost my whole life just severely depressed and anxious and addicted. Just terrible, guys. Terrible. And here we're standing there just filled with joy, just talking like two kids, you know. It was just amazing. And I asked him, what would you tell somebody? How'd you do it? And we're both like, I don't know. It was all of it. It was all of it. It was every fight. It was every talk. It was every stumble, getting back up. It was all the studying, you know, all the misunderstandings and all the screaming. I mean, all these flashbacks like a movie were flying through my mind of all that we had been through together to stand in this place. And all I can say is you're just throwing snow in the air. I'm just so excited. I can't believe that it's happened. And that's something Gary always says is, what'd you say? Don't quit until what? Don't quit until the miracle happens. It's available.